white print across a red screen. Film 4 International, in association with the Glasgow Film Fund, presents A Figment Film. A close-up on David's revolving, expressionless face, his staring blue eyes, short brown hair, and his voice.
I'm not ashamed. I've known love. I've known rejection. I'm not afraid to declare my feelings. Take trust, for instance, or friendship. These are the important things in life. These are the things that matter, that help you on your way. If you can't trust your friends, well, what then? What then?
At fantastic speed over cobbled Edinburgh streets.
This could have been any city. They're all the same.
Past elegant terraces, parked cars, trees and leaf. Starring Kerry Fox as Juliet, Christopher Eccleston as David, and Ewan McGregor as Alex. Dense woodland, red letters, shallow grave. To the streets. Then to the forest. The streets again. And an abrupt stop outside a terraced building. A young man wearing jeans and an anorak, carrying a plastic bag, climbs the stairs to the top flat. He stops at a gloss-painted red door and pats his hair nervously. The doormat says, "Not today, thank you." Beside the buzzer is a nameplate: Alex Law, David Stevens, and Juliet Miller.
Hello, I've come about the room.
David, Alex, and Juliet sit on chairs in a straight line facing Cameron, who sits uncomfortably in the middle of a long green settee.
So what's his name?
I don't know.
Campbell or something?
Cameron.
Cameron? Mm. Really? That's right. What? Well, are you comfortable, Cameron?
Yes, thanks.
Have you seen the flat?
Yes.
And you like it?
Yes, it's great.
Yes, it is, isn't it? And we all like it. The room's nice too, don't you think?
Yes.
Spacious, bright, well-appointed, all that sort of stuff. All that sort of crap.
Well, yes.
Yes, so tell me, Cameron, just tell me, because I'd like to know, what on earth could make you think we'd want to share a flat like this with someone like you?
I mean, my first impressions, and they're rarely wrong, is that you have none of the qualities we normally seek from a prospective flatmate. Talking here about things like presence, charisma, style and charm, and I don't think we're asking too much. I don't think we're being unreasonable. Take David here, for instance, a chartered accountant he may be, but at least he tries hard. Trouble is, I just don't think you're trying.
And Cameron, happiness, good luck.
Alex from the top of the stairwell. The three friends collapse together behind the door. Cameron slams the outside door. More interviews.
Just a few questions.
I'd like to ask you about your hobbies.
Why do you want a room here?
Do you smoke?
Now, when you sacrifice a goat and you rip its heart out with your bare hands, do you then summon hellfire?
It's a fairly straightforward question. Either you're divorced or you're not.
Or do you just send out for a pizza?
Do a little freebase, maybe, from time to time?
When you get up in the morning, how do you decide which shade of black to wear?
Okay, I'm going to play you just a few seconds of this tape. I'd like you to name the song, the lead singer, and three hit singles subsequently recorded by him with another band.
They pose for photographs with prospective flatmates.
Now, let me get this straight. This affair that you're not having, is it not with a man or not with a woman?
Turning very briefly to corporate finance. No, this is important. Leverage buyouts, a good thing or a bad thing?
When did anyone last say to you these exact words? You are the sunshine of my life.
And how would you react then if I told you I was the Antichrist?
Alex cycles around the spacious room.
Do you like my picture?
A portrait of a man in a dark suit. In a squash court, Alex and David play ferociously while Juliet reads a magazine.
Sporting, personal, financial, professional, sexual, and everything.
Alex leans on the open door.
Now,
next?
Juliet goes on to play.
Did you know this?
Anyway, I wasn't trying to win.
In a mini on the way home.
Oh, you're victory, Juliet. All I'm saying is I wasn't trying to win.
Victory's the same as defeat. It's giving in to destructive competitive urges.
Oh, did you learn that in your psychotherapy group, David?
Discussion group, Alex. Discussion.
I thought you'd stop going.
Yeah, well, he had too many of those urges. You of all people should know about that.
She elbows Alex in the chest.
God, you two are sensitive. All I'm doing is implying some kind of ugly, sordid sexual liaison. I'd be proud of that sort of thing.
Maybe you should go, Alex. You'll meet someone wonderful.
For my life? A discussion group? I think not.
For the flat.
No, it'd be someone like him, and one's enough, thank you very much. What about that girl?
What girl?
That friend of yours, the one that came round. Now, I liked her. We had something. She could have moved in. We had chemistry.
She hated you.
Well, she had problems.
More than anyone
no,
she
I'd
had
be the
ever
first
met
one to
in
admit
her
that.
Entire
all kindness,
life.
I would. But like they say, you know, she's got to want to change, hasn't she?
The stairwell of the flats, a man, mid-30s, in a dark linen suit, is at the door.
You must be Hugo.
And you must be Juliet.
Would you like to come in?
I'd be delighted.
Smiling, she shows Hugo the room for rent. It's very dark, with deep blue walls, and the bed is covered in red satin.
What do you do?
Well, I've been away for a while. Travelling, you know, that kind of thing. And now I'm writing a novel.
Oh, what's it about?
It's actually about a priest who dies.
I see.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I should change it. No, I think you're right. I mean, who wants to read another story about a dead priest? In fact, it's about another guy. He's not a priest. And he lives. He doesn't die.
Sitting in the lounge.
See, it's better already.
Writing seems easy.
Oh, yeah, it's a breeze. No problem.
Do you think you could answer that?
Well, the telephone.
The telephone, but if it's for me, I'm not here.
Right. You're not here. Okay.
Hugo picks up the red phone. Juliet, reflected in a large wall mirror, watches him.
Hello? Yes, it is, yes? Who's calling, please? Well, I'm sorry, but she's not in right now. No, I've got absolutely no idea. Would you like to leave a message? Okay. Goodbye. That's, a guy called Brian.
Did he sound upset?
A little bit, yeah. Is that good or bad?
It's an improvement.
Shall I, get the phone?
No, just leave it. He knows I'm probably at home. I'm working nights this week.
You're working nights?
I'm a doctor.
Ah, and he's a patient?
No, but he needs treatment.
For what?
A certain weakness.
The human condition?
Oh. You know about him?
Well, I write about it.
And that's not the same thing?
No. But like all novelists, I'm a search to self.
Has he tried down the back of the fridge? That's where I normally find things.
He seemed like a nice guy, Alex.
I'm not saying he didn't seem like a nice guy. I'm just saying it's a bit strange, you know, the search of the self or whatever he's on about.
He didn't seem strange, Alex. He seemed... you know.
Juliet takes her cup to the bathroom.
Interesting.
Interesting?
And runs a bath. Alex is in an open dressing gown over white underpants and a T-shirt.
Hello? No, she's not in. I don't know. I've no idea.
Who are they?
I don't know. He sounded Swedish. Do you know any Swedish men?
No.
Maybe it was just the emotion. What do you think?
About what? About this guy, this Hugo person.
I don't have the time.
I'm just asking what you think.
I don't have the time. I don't care so long as he's not afraid.
David!
Alex holds out a letter.
It's your mother's handwriting. I didn't open it. I don't like reading about your father's constipation.
David snatches it.
So about me then? What?
Yeah, whatever. I tell you, every letter this guy writes you is the same. They all begin like true love and descend into open pornography.
I dream of your thighs, the touch of your white skin leading me in desire while I aroused and inflamed.
Alex.
Aroused and inflamed.
Juliet, topless, comes out of the bathroom and grabs the letter.
Even signs them in his own name, can you believe that? I'd sign someone else's. I'd sign his name if I wrote them that, which I don't. Interesting.
Really?
Yes, well, that's what she said. Interesting. You see, that's why you're here.
At dinner.
Normally, I don't usually meet people unless I already know them.
I see.
People can be so cruel. So, well, we think it's fine.
Ah, so I can have the room?
Yes, you can have the room.
Oh, I'm not usually drunk.
Not usually this drunk.
Only on expenses.
That's true. A newspaper's paying for all this. All this, a newspaper. It was you, Juliet. It was you. What I am, which is a hack.
The man we know.
Miserable, tired out, empty shell of a known love.
Yeah.
I think you're lying.
You're right.
You see, they don't really know me.
No, Alex. They don't really love you.
Can you afford this place?
Oh, yeah.
Hugo hands Juliet a wad of banknotes, which she lays on the table.
Can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
Have you ever killed a man?
At a bank cash point, two thugs beat up a man.
No.
And steal his money.
Oh, that's fair enough then.
The beating goes on. Alex sniffs the money on the table.
Well, it certainly smells like the real thing.
Blood oozes down the front of the cash point, which says, "Next customer, please." Hugo unlocks the door. Red on the outside, blue on the inside. And carries two suitcases into the hall. Juliet stirs in her sleep. He creeps into his own room and locks the door before opening a suitcase on the bed. At 6 p.m., Juliet wakens. Alex is watching football.
The Rangers have made a few dramatic comebacks this season, but they'll really have to draw on all of their resources.
Scotland today can reveal...
You seen Hugo?
No. Any idea which channel he's on?
He switches channels and misses a goal.
No, for fuck's sake. No, she's not in.
Next morning, Juliet takes off her shoes in the kitchen and Alex, in his dressing gown, picks up the mail.
Have you seen it?
I don't have the time.
Yes or no? Yes or no? Oh, David, yes or no?
No! What sort of car?
I don't know, Alex. I'm just a girl.
Oh, look, I'll ask you just once more. What sort of car?
A blue one, okay? And it's still there.
David and Alex inspect the car in the street. Back inside, they try to look through the narrow window panel above Hugo's door.
Yeah, Hugo, look, I'm sorry about this, but can you open your door? It says your flatmates and companions, your newfound friends. He's not there. I can't see him at all.
Maybe he's in the wardrobe.
Of course he's not in a bloody wardrobe.
It's a joke, Alex.
Well, I think he's probably left. We'll probably never see him again.
Alex, the key is in the keyhole on the other side.
So?
Open it.
You want me to kick this in?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Okay, no problem.
He tries to kick it in.
Do you want to go?
Okay, you size that up.
They all push. It opens, and they fall inside. Hugo is lying on top of the bed, naked and dead. Alex sniffs the air, opens a window, but closes the curtains. David stares transfixed at the body.
So that's what they always look like?
Yes.
Wonder how he did it.
Did what?
Well, killed himself. Presume that's what's happened.
Juliet closes Hugo's eyes and covers him.
What do you think?
Alex?
What? What's wrong?
What are you doing?
I'm just looking.
Don't.
Don't look?
No.
Why not? What's wrong, Juliet? Aren't you curious? Don't you wonder what he died from?
No. The guy's dead. What more do you need?
Alex finds syringes in a drawer.
It's not every day I find a story in my own flat.
It's not a story, Alex. It's a corpse.
I've never seen a dead body before.
After a moment's hesitation, Juliet goes to the phone.
I saw my grandmother, of course, but I don't suppose that counts. I mean, she was alive at the time.
Alex pulls a suitcase out from under the bed and opens it. David, dressed for the office, is standing stock still, his hands in his pockets.
Can I show you something?
Alex carries the open suitcase to Juliet in the hall. She stares at it and slowly puts the phone down. The open case on the table is full of banknotes. The three of them sit round it.
No.
Just think about it.
No.
Come on, David.
No.
Juliet.
No, Alex.
It's what?
Unfeasible.
Was that all?
You mean immoral.
I know what I mean.
Look, I'm only asking you both to think about it.
It's a sick idea, Alex. It's sick.
Yeah, but don't tell me you're not tempted. Don't tell me you're not interested. I know you well enough.
Oh, you think so?
Go ahead, then. Telephone. Telephone the police. Go ahead. No one's going to stand in your way. Telephone them. Tell them. Tell them there's a suitcase full of money and you don't want it.
Hesitantly, David joins in. The mail drops through the letterbox of this very stylish flat, with high ceilings, huge rooms, and large windows, painted in deep primary colours, pictures, mirrors, and furniture, all tasteful and elegant. The suitcase sits closed on the polished kitchen table. In his room, Hugo is still on the bed, wrapped in the red satin cover.
Now, is there a pet in the house? Yeah, a pet. You know, like a dog or a budgie or a gerbil or something. You see, what I need here is PC Plod saves Harry the hamster from House of Horror, you know? All right. Well, that's a pity. You see, no pets, no human angle.
Alex at his reporter's desk, eyes up two girls in the office. Juliet at the hospital.
Hi there.
Hello.
What happened to that guy?
What guy?
That guy, the one that died.
What guy that died?
That one last week.
Here?
Yes, here. Where else?
Oh, him. Well, he died.
That's what I thought. Hello? Have you got room for an overnighter?
David David, returning from work, wearily climbs the stairs. In the sitting room, Alex and Juliet are drinking wine.
He's still here?
Yeah, he couldn't get his car started.
When are you going to let the police know?
Well, you phone them if you want, David.
What about you?
Well, I'm getting used to having him around.
David turns away. Hugo's body lies in his room. David and his boss.
What did you do here, David?
Sorry.
Here?
Right here.
In this firm?
Well, it's a wide range of accounting, David.
Chartered accounting?
Exactly what
I was often sneered at. Were you aware of that?
Not any real sneering as such, no.
There's a whole wide world out there, and it all needs to be accounted for, does it not?
Well,
But they sneered, did they not?
I'm not sure.
Oh, it's unfashionable, I know, but yes, we're methodical, yes, we're diligent, yes, we're serious, and where's the crime in that? Why not shout it from the rooftops? Yes, maybe sometimes we're a wee bit boring, but by God, we get the job done.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's why I think you fit in here.
I'm boring.
You get the job done.
Oh, I see, I thought you meant...
Which is why I'm trusting you with this client.
He throws David a huge folder. Later, David is working in the small, book-lined silent office, full of accountants, working back-to-back with a green lamp on each desk. He stares at them resentfully.
Good morning, London Law Center. How can I help you? Yeah, I'll just take that for a minute.
David imagines Juliet sitting in front of him, their eyes locked.
Let's do it.
DIY store.
Good. Let's talk about disposal. Now, we have to make that body unidentifiable, and burning, dumping at sea, and straightforward burial are all flawed, either by fingerprints or more commonly by dental records. This I have learned. Now, what I suggest is that we bury him out in the forest, but first of all, we remove his hands and his feet, which we incinerate, and his teeth, which we just remove. It's as simple as that.
David!
A long screwdriver.
I've always wondered what these were for. Now...
Displays of hammers and drills.
This is what we need.
He picks up a saw.
And,
Gary, to the service desk, please.
He throws David a hammer.
Now, what else?
I don't know.
A spade. We need a spade. David, I wish you'd concentrate. We need a spade if we're going to dig a pit.
So who's going to do it?
Dig the pit? I don't know.
No, not that.
Then what? Who's going to do what?
You know what I'm talking about. Who's going to do it?
Do I? What are you talking about?
You know what? Who's going to do it?
We all are, David. We're all going to do it. Each of us, you, me and Juliet, will do his or her bit, okay? Fair enough?
I can't do it.
I don't hear this.
I won't be able to do it.
Are you telling me you want out already? Are you telling me you don't want the money? Hugo is going off. He smells.
Shh.
The flat smells. We can't wait any longer.
I'm just telling you, I won't be able to cut him up.
Alex puts spades and a saw in beside rolls of plastic in Juliet's trolley. Grimly, David carries the hammer. At a blue transit van in the dark.
Who's going to do it?
Well, I thought we all were.
I don't think I can.
But Juliet, you're a doctor. You kill people every day.
It's different. I still don't want to.
And now you tell me.
A face upside down in blood-red water. Wearing surgical masks, the friends roll Hugo onto a black plastic sheet.
There's something I want to ask.
I don't know!
I swear to God, I don't know!
A man is being drowned in a bath by the two thugs.
Family? Friends? Drugged up, wandering, suicidal, search for the self. Fuck-ups don't have families, David.
I just thought we should discuss
it. Take his legs.
Where's Hugo?
The interrogation continues. Hugo's rigid body is carried awkwardly out of the flat, wrapped in the plastic. Juliet drops the torch down the stairwell. They freeze, then continue to struggle down the stairs. The man's face is forced underwater again. Outside, they push Hugo's body into the van and collect up all the tools in a bag. Drowning man's mouth gapes open. His killer throws his body into the bath.
Stupid fucking bastard.
The two thugs saunter out of the blood-drenched bathroom, leaving the body in the bath, head in the water, legs up against the wall.
Why don't we draw lots for it? Whoever draws the short straw does it all. That way you either do it or you don't, all or nothing.
Okay, I can go with that.
David?
I don't know.
Look, if I draw the short straw, then I'll do it, but I'm not going to do it just because you won't.
In the darkness, Alex drives the van to the woods. He gets out. The other two follow. Alex emerges from a clump of trees.
All right then, here we are, and this is it. Do you want to play or not?
He holds three sticks in his clenched hand. In front of the headlights, Juliet draws a long one. David pulls a short one. Alex is left with a long one.
I can't do it.
Deep in the woods, Alex is furiously digging, while David frantically saws the body, sweat and saliva pouring from his nose and mouth. Juliet sits and watches, smoking.
Finished. Aye, but not quite.
Is that going to be deep enough?
Don't worry about that.
Is this necessary?
Yes. Now come on, all or nothing.
David uses the hammer on Hugo's gaping face. Alex winces. They collect up the severed hands and feet and put them in a yellow hospital bag. Back at the flat, David's revolving expressionless face.
Are you all right?
He blinks.
Oh yes, I'm fine, thanks. Just fine.
Would you like to talk about it?
No.
The tools are in the bath. The water is bloody and muddy. Alex is watching Lose a Million with crisps and a can of beer.
Lose a million.
Yes, all right. Hello there, welcome aboard. Once again, I was a millionaire's yacht. As you can see, it's just like the Mary Celeste, really, but without the party atmosphere. As you know, Lose a Million, the object is not to win the game, but to
lose.
Not to give right answers, but
wrong ones.
Not to do well, but to do really
badly.
And above all, to try and make a total
hot shot.
David takes the suitcase up a ladder into the loft. Alex at a drum kit in the hall.
Be careful!
Juliet takes the yellow bag from the fridge and throws Alex a set of car keys.
I don't know why they couldn't just stuff it in a mattress or under the floorboards like any other human
Stop
being.
Nagging, Alex.
We could have hid it in the fridge.
David in the loft tries the light, but it fizzles out. In a hospital corridor, Juliet drops the bag in a trolley bound for the incinerator. Alex takes the blue car to the edge of a deep quarry and pushes it over into the water. He throws the keys in after it. At a dinner dance, fireworks shower down outside the windows. Juliet wears a low-cut black dress, her short hair elegantly styled, and the men are in evening suits and bow ties. Alex's jacket is a dark tartan, and his tie is undone.
Ladies and gentlemen, could I have your attention, please? First of all, I'd like to thank you all for coming here tonight to help us raise funds for the Sick Children's Unit.
You never told me this was for children. I hate children. I've raised money to have the little fuckers put down.
Shh!
Oi! I want my money back!
But before the dancing starts, ladies and gentlemen,
I would like to
give a vote of thanks to that few people who have worked so hard to make this occasion actually happen. I'm referring, of course,
you
to
know many
Fiona
of these
Chumley
people.
And a band of willing helpers.
Oh, so if they want to speak to you, you tell them that you're not here.
But ladies and gentlemen, and those of you who are neither, or both.
Where did the dick come up?
To the dance floor and form sets for Strip the Willow.
We're going to dance.
Well, it's physical contact, isn't it?
Alex and Juliet leave David drinking and go to dance. Alex staggers a bit as they spin round. His long hair flying. Juliet lets him go, and he falls to the floor. She presses the toe of her black high-heeled shoe against his mouth. He kisses her ankle. She dances off. At a large chest freezer in a deserted garage. The two thugs open the lid and pull up a shivering, naked man. Okay. He whispers an address.
Doctor. 5, 6, 9, 8, 1, 1.
Okay.
They push him back inside and pile bags of cement onto the lid and leave.
No, man! No!
At their table, Alex pours champagne over a fountain of glasses while smoking a cigar.
Listen, can we talk about something?
Not now, I have an idea.
It's important, we need to decide.
Will you just stop worrying? To love and to happiness forever.
Forever and ever.
Juliet and Alex drink.
What's wrong?
I want to talk now.
Not until you've drunk to love and happiness forever.
No.
After.
David, I promise we will. Just keep him happy.
It's not for me. It's for love and happiness forever.
David takes a glass and has a sip.
Look over there. It's Cameron.
Who?
Cameron. You remember Cameron.
No, I don't.
What's he doing here?
That's not him.
It's Cameron. Cameron, come on over here, come on!
Cameron is selling red roses.
What?
Alex arrogantly blows smoke in his face.
Nothing, we thought you were someone else.
Cameron turns away.
Good luck! I love that guy, but why does he have to follow us around?
Anyway, what I was wanting to say was this.
Aha, the divine Juliet. Long time no see.
Brian.
Would you care to dance?
Hold on, mate. Who do you think you are?
What?
Who do you think you are? You interrupted us.
Well, I'm Brian McKinley. And who are you?
Well, Brian McKinley, if you want to talk to my girlfriend, you talk to me first. If you want to dance with, you apply in writing 3 weeks in advance or you're going to end up inside a fucking bin bag. You didn't apply, so you don't dance.
Brian backs away.
Do you think you could be a little more forceful next time?
I'm sorry.
No, I think he got the message.
That was quite stressful. I found that quite stressful.
Yeah, but you were good. He was really good. Fucking bin bag. I like that. You really explored your maleness to the full then.
Do you think so?
Well, you certainly had a good look around.
You were magnificent.
Fucking bin bag.
Alex goes unsteadily to the gents.
Fucking bin bag.
Cameron! What a surprise!
Cameron punches him in the face and pushes him back into the cubicle. Next morning, in a blood-splattered shirt, Alex sits opposite Juliet with his feet on the table. His nose and eyes are swollen and bloody. David, immaculate in his dark suit and white shirt, leaves for work. Alex pours a glass of Iron Brew.
Who was it?
Don't know. No one said anything.
Well, rendered speechless with desire. I recall that feeling from the days when I had such a thing.
Are you all right?
No.
Then let's spend some money.
Alex tries to smile.
Hello. It's been a struggle, but now our days of worry are over. The light at the end of the tunnel has expanded into a golden sunrise. And now at last, at long last, nothing will ever be the same again.
Sprawled on the floor in front of their TV, amid mechanical toys, clothes and other purchases, they watch their own home movie. Alex is wearing a strappy black dress and is heavily made up. Juliet is drinking wine from a long glass. In the movie, there's more wild dressing up, smoking and drinking. Alex shoots a mechanical baby doll with a crossbow. He dances with a life-size stuffed gorilla.
Law reporting on the video diary of his own life. Let me tell you, I'm so happy I could die.
They are both in an empty bath, fully clothed. The crawling baby doll is about to fall over the step. David turns off the TV and picks up the video camera.
You scrubbed this, don't you?
Oh, will you relax?
How much did you pay for this?
I don't know.
How much?
I don't know.
How much?
I can't remember.
How much?
I don't know.
How much you paid for it?
I can't remember.
How much did you pay for this?
I don't know, David.
How much?
No idea.
How much did you pay?
I don't know. I don't know.
How much did you pay for this?
£500.
£500?
£500.
You paid £500 for this?
That's what it cost, David.
No, no, that's what you paid for it. £500 is what you paid for it. We don't know how much it cost us yet. For you two to have a good time, we don't know the cost of that yet.
The doll falls down the stairs and into the pool of water. At the quarry where two figures see the top of the sunken car under the clear water. David is asleep as a boot kicks in a door. David wakes with a start, puts on his glasses, and apprehensively goes downstairs. An old lady lies in the hallway below, surrounded by neighbours and police.
Excuse me, did they take anything?
David lies awake in bed.
Is that enough for you? Oi.
What?
Is that enough for you?
Yes, that's fine.
There's plenty more.
That's fine.
Alex is ladling out pasta and sauce.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
You're not eating?
Not eating what?
Well, you're not eating like you used to.
If you give me the plate, I'll eat.
Juliet pours red wine. They watch David intently.
Now swallow.
He does.
You know, you should spend some of that money instead of worrying about it. That's my advice.
He's right. You'd feel so much better about it all.
Once you spend, you don't have to worry about it.
Be like a weight off your shoulders.
You know, we're right.
Don't you?
I want to secure it.
Secure it? What, you want to put it in a bank? You don't want to put it in a bank, do you? What, do you want to bury it? Is that it?
Oh, don't see the point in that. It's stupid.
Of course it's stupid. Look, we did what we did. We took the money. It was a material calculation. What's the point if it's underground in some funny bank in some funny place? If you can't have it, if you can't spend it, then what use is it? None. It's all for nothing if you do that. Now, I didn't get into this for nothing, so that I could have nothing.
Yeah, and you didn't saw his feet off.
Juliet and Alex freeze.
Tastes different.
Alex washing the dishes. Here's David up in the loft.
David, what are you doing up there? Come down now. It's not safe up there.
David wraps the case in a yellow hospital bag, sealing the ends with broad plastic tape.
Are you listening to me? Security and insanity are not the same thing.
Standing by the ladder leading up to the loft, Alex gives up and goes back to the kitchen. David puts the airtight bag inside the water tank. Water laps over the edges. In the hospital, Juliet and Alex are in the basement.
I don't care what you say, a grown man shouldn't be living in a loft. He isn't safe up there. If you cared about him at all, then you'd use your influence to get him down, then he'd be safe.
And the money?
Well, we could put it somewhere.
Where he can't get it.
Well, you thought of that, not me.
Forget it. Now come down.
Oh, Juliet, look.
She rushes off. Back in the flat, David, in a t-shirt, tracksuit bottoms and trainers, is fitting a Yale lock to the loft trapdoor.
Hello, Mr. Lumsden, it's David Stevens here. I'm sorry, sir, I won't be able to make it to the office today. It's my mother, sir. She's very ill and I think I need to be with her just now. I don't know, the doctors aren't sure, it could go either way. Yes, sir. I'll certainly stay in touch.
He sits on a makeshift bed in the loft and flicks a torch off and on. Alex and Juliet are eating in the kitchen.
Good day?
What?
Good day.
What are you talking about?
I'm just asking if you had a good day at work.
Why?
Well, I thought I'd make conversation.
Please, I'd rather you didn't.
Are you expecting anyone?
No.
Well.
Aren't you going to answer it?
Well, I'm not expecting anyone either.
Alex goes to the door and looks through the spy hole. He puts the chain on before opening it. The two thugs break in, one ties Alex's hands behind his back and hits his head against the wall. The other goes for Juliet. Her cardigan is pulled over her head and she's tied up. A plastic bag is put over Alex's head, and he's pushed to the floor. They hit him over the legs with an iron crowbar. David, from inside the loft, puts the key in the outside lock deliberately. Leaving Juliet and Alex on the floor, one thug climbs the ladder. The The opening trapdoor lid is reflected in David's glasses as he stands in the dark, holding a hammer. The other thug goes up to investigate the thump. The light bulb shatters as David hits him from behind with the hammer. The bodies of the two thugs are thrown through the trapdoor. David, carrying a knife, unties Juliet and Alex. As the sun sets, David drives the blue van. Juliet, leaning on Alex, notices the new keys on David's keyring. David shines the torch on his own face, then through his fingers, making a red color which becomes the sky. Once more in the woods, David is sawing furiously. His fingers are red. The torchlight shines on his face. In the woods, he hammers at the bodies. In a travel agent's office.
September the 19th, direct flight, London Heathrow to Rio de Janeiro. It's British Airways. You're looking at £765 at 765.
That sounds fine.
Air Portugal, on the other hand, it's via Lisbon, same day. It's £565, 565. It's catering important.
What?
Air France, Glasgow direct. Oh, but then you're looking at the wrong end of £912. It's 912.
The first one was fine, Heathrow direct.
Well, it's up to you. Air Patagonia, that's a new outfit. Via lots of different places, really. Well, it's no catering. That's £411, 411. Well, it's good value, but refueling at Bogota is variable.
The first one was fine.
Oh, it's up to you. 765. How will you be paying?
She takes cash from a brown envelope. Alex is watching TV, his bruised legs covered in the thick gauze. He hears David moving about in the loft. Alex looks up and gets showered in dust. David is drilling holes in the ceiling in every room. Alex and Juliet stand anxiously in a doorway, then go outside to sit in the garden in the dark.
No, and that's it. I refuse to discuss it any further.
It's the only way.
No, I refuse.
You're frightened.
I'm not frightened. I'm a little terrified, maybe. Did you see what happened to the last two people that tried to do that? They went up there alive and they came back down dead. Did you notice that? The difference, I mean, alive, dead, dead, alive, that sort of thing. It wasn't difficult to spot. He killed them both. He cut them up.
Yeah, but you'll be all right.
She touches his face.
And how's that?
Because you're smarter than he is.
She holds his hand.
Yeah, well, that's what I've always thought.
David in Juliet's room is looking through drawers in her desk. He finds the airline ticket.
Good evening. I'm Detective Inspector McCall. This is DC Mitchell. I wonder if we could ask you some questions.
What about?
It's about the burglary.
Burglary?
Downstairs.
Of course.
Can we come in?
So I just heard her cries for help and all that. And when I went downstairs, there were already those other people there. So I just stood around, you know, waiting the way people do. And when your colleagues arrived, I came back upstairs. That's about all, I think. I didn't actually see anything useful, I don't think.
And the other three people living in the flat, did they hear anything?
There are only two other people in the flat.
Inspector McCall looks at his assistant and checks his notes.
Two?
Who said there were four?
We understood there were four people living here. Not always, of course, but now. Four.
No, three. Who said there were four?
How strange. And how unsatisfactory to have misleading information. Only three people here. You're sure?
Yes, absolutely. Who said there were four?
Make a note of that, Mitchell. Only three rather than four. Write it down. You can use numbers or words. I've no preference. Which are you using?
Both, sir.
Excellent. DC Mitchell is a rising star, Mr. Stevens. Under my tutelage, he will undoubtedly make the grade.
I see.
I doubt it.
Alex and Juliet outside.
And you'll wait in the hall.
I'll wait there.
And if it sounds like I'm getting killed or anything, you'll call the police and tell them everything.
Everything.
Except maybe that it was his idea in the first place. Now, that's important to me. I need to die misunderstood.
Alex.
What?
As smart as you are, you might need a little help.
She gives him the Yale key.
Now, David, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open this lock and I'm going to come up. But what's really important is that you remain calm. Okay?
Inside the loft, beams of light from all the holes crisscross over the darkness. Alex, carrying the torch at the top of the ladder, cautiously creeps into the loft. Juliet waits at the bottom of the ladder. Alex moves around the loft, shining his torch.
Alex!
It's all right, it's just a pigeon. Listen up here!
David creeps up behind Juliet, covering her mouth with his hand.
To look for the money.
Look for the money!
Don't worry, it's exactly what I'm doing.
Alex searches the bed and feels the pillow.
It's not up here. He has eaten it.
He sees the water lapping over the top of the tank, opens it and smiles as he puts his hand into the water to touch the case.
Oh.
Alex backs down the ladder as David comes at him with a drill.
You're looking for me? Looking for you, yeah. What for? What did you want? The money? Was that it?
We just wanted to talk to you.
Who else have you just wanted to talk to? Maybe you thought they'd already got me.
Who?
Your friends.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Stop it, David.
The drill touches Alex's forehead, drawing blood.
Maybe you don't. I'm talking about the police.
In the morning, Alex wakens and touches his bleeding head. David, through one of the drilled holes in the ceiling, watches Alex in his untidy room getting dressed for work. Through another hole, he watches Alex as he goes out of the flat. David darts from hole to hole, peering down into the flat. He peers down at Juliet as she wakens and pushes back the covers with her legs. Sleepily, she gets out of bed, wearing short pajamas. She places a red dress carefully on the bed. And looks for underwear in a drawer. As she unbuttons her pajama top, David, above her, puts his head in his hands. When he looks again, the dress is gone. He puts his head down through the trapdoor and looks at the empty flat. Has a shower. Then goes to the kitchen. Juliet is cowering in a corner, holding her badly bruised face.
Thought you'd gone to work.
With a face like this.
David turns and slowly walks towards her. On Alex's computer screen, in the event of my death, I want the following facts to be known.
Alex, the editor wants to see you.
He closes it down.
I'm sorry.
So you should be.
In the flat, David strokes Juliet's face.
Maybe we can still sort everything out.
She touches his hand.
Well, we can certainly try.
Alex's editor from a toilet cubicle.
Three bodies,
decomposed, mutilated beyond recognition.
I don't know anything about it.
Of course you don't know anything about it. If you knew anything about it, I wouldn't have to send you out there to cover it.
Cover it?
That's right. This is your break, son. Cover it.
Jesus. Alex drives the Mini to the woods. As he gets out of the car, the opening door swings shut on his bruised legs. Oh! Men in white overalls move through the trees. Uniformed officers stand by. By a police cordon, DC Mitchell notices Alex. In her room, Juliet removes her jumper and carefully takes off David's glasses. He kisses her hand, and she holds his head to her breast. Police briefing at the crime scene.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. The releasable and print-worthy facts of the day so far are as follows. Late yesterday afternoon, forestry workers came across one set of human remains lying in a grave which appeared to have been recently dug. Further excavation on our part revealed another deeper grave containing two sets of human remains.
Is this a serial killer?
How come they haven't been identified
How
yet?
How long have they been in the grave? Is it true that one of the bodies has been skinned?
Not entirely. All right. An area of skin has been removed, and you'd better keep this to yourselves. There's no hands, feet, teeth. Faces are pulp, totally unrecognizable. And yes, skin has been removed from one of the bodies. As and when the corpses are removed, we will endeavor to ascertain the mode of death and duration of burial, as well as identification, which will, of course, be passed on to you after informing, where possible, the next of kin.
Inspector McCall watches Alex running from the scene and frantically starting up the Mini. Alex carries a pile of newspapers up to the flat, where David and Juliet sit stiffly on the settee.
Are you okay?
Yes, of course. Why wouldn't I be?
I don't know. I just thought maybe I'll
be... We were just sorting things out.
Well, you better read all about it.
We already know all about it.
It was on the television.
Of course, but I think you'll find the print medium provides a more lucid and detailed...
Shut up, Alex.
It wasn't deep enough. I told you it wasn't deep enough and you wouldn't listen.
It doesn't necessarily matter. They don't even know who these people are, and even if they did, they've got nothing to connect us with them. Nothing.
I'm glad you're so certain, Alex. Makes us feel a whole lot better.
I beg your pardon?
It makes us feel a whole lot better.
That's what I thought he said.
Headline in the paper, Triple Corpse Horror. Alex is having a nightmare about the money, the doll, the police, being trapped under the floor with a saw coming towards him.
Stop.
What are you doing here?
It's about me and David.
Oh, the perfect couple, I should say.
You must
mustn't take it so badly.
Oh, don't worry. I'd do exactly the same thing, only I don't think I'm his type.
Don't you ever stop.
No.
He turns over and goes back to sleep. She leaves a small pink and yellow plastic word, love, beside his silver lighter. The inspector and DC Mitchell sit opposite Juliet, who looks at three photographs.
Take all the time you like, Doctor.
No, I've never seen any of them.
Look again if you like.
They are of the two thugs and Hugo.
I'm sorry, I haven't seen them.
Do you think you've got a good memory for faces?
Oh, same as everyone else.
But in the work, you must meet lots of different people every day. New people, new faces, no?
Yes.
What do you recognize most, names or faces?
Diseases.
Like recognizing criminals by their crimes.
I suppose so.
I mean, that's what it's like.
Sorry?
You said you supposed to, but I wasn't offering it for debate.
He wasn't offering it for debate.
Like recognizing criminals by their crimes.
Alex is on his knees in his room. Beside him, a pile of newspapers, which he tears into single sheets. Alex now looks at the same three photographs.
No, I've never seen any of these men before. Take a look at the first two. No, I don't know them.
If I told you that their car was parked outside just now, would that surprise you?
David is watching from above.
Yes, I suppose so. Well, is it?
What?
Parked there.
No, not anymore. I just wondered if it would surprise you. That's it.
That's all.
Yes. Sorry to waste your time.
Oh, not at all, don't worry.
One thing.
Yes?
A watch.
What?
The watch.
The real?
Or a fake?
Oh, no, it's a fake. I picked it up in Thailand. The second hand doesn't sweep, you see.
I see.
Right.
Tell you what. If you do remember these guys, maybe you could give me a phone on this number. Anytime you like.
Handing him a card, which Alex takes.
I didn't tell them anything, nothing at all, absolutely nothing. The plods, that's all they are. Look, if they had anything at all, any witnesses, any forensic evidence, they would have whipped it out there and then.
They know.
They can know all they like, it won't do them the slightest bit of good.
They know.
So they know. So what? They have nothing, there's nothing to connect us with that body stuff.
Except the money.
He's right, Alex, say no!
David is in bed, looking at a photo of Alex. Alex, in his room, gets up quietly and pulls on his tracksuit bottoms over his bandaged legs. David gets out of bed, leaving Juliet asleep. Alex creeps to the phone in the hall. David removes the case from the tank. Juliet stirs. Taking the phone into his room, Alex sits on the floor, his back to the door, and dials the number from the card. David lowers the case through the trapdoor. Takes it to his room. David is packing.
Come on.
My office is closed. Life, however, grinds on towards its conclusion. In the meantime, you may wish to leave a message, but the final decision is yours alone.
David is heading for the front door.
David? You forgot to wake me.
Juliet, dressed, crosses to the door.
You and me.
Together.
Hey! Alex! Who are you calling at this time of night?
David pulls the phone wire from its socket.
Come out here and talk to us.
Alex stands tentatively at his door.
Well? Sex lines, is that it? Triple X-rated interactive fantasies, old habits die hard.
I was phoning your mother.
You old devil. Well, anyway, as you can see, we're leaving.
So I gathered.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's the way it is.
Well, don't worry about it, I'll forward your mail.
No, really, I am sorry. Sorry to be ducking out on you like this. I mean, I hope you won't take it personally.
No, don't let it worry you, not at all. It's probably for the best.
Oh, for the best? Exactly. I wouldn't want things staying on a downer.
Not at all.
I mean, with ups and downs, right? Good times, bad times.
Yeah.
We could talk all night, but we have to go. Don't we, Juliet?
Yes.
And you need your sleep.
Yes.
No, can't think of anything else that matters.
About your mail?
Ah, it's very good of you to offer, but...
Where do you think you'll go?
Where will we go? Where will we go? Juliet.
I don't know.
Don't be so coy, dear. You're going to Rio.
What?
That's right. Rio de Janeiro, on your own. You should know. You bought the fucking ticket!
Juliet looks imploringly at Alex.
Did you see that? Did she show you that? I'll bet she didn't show you that before she sent you up there. What did she say? We'll split it together, you and me, 50-50. But I'll bet you didn't say you'd split on him.
It wasn't like that.
Don't lie to me! Don't treat me like that!
I bought it.
What?
I bought the tickets, one for her and one for me. It was my idea.
Your idea, I see. Well, that fits. I mean, you and him fit together. I should have seen that a long time ago.
Alex, stop him!
No, let him go. Let him have it all. Juliet, let him go!
I'm leaving.
Juliet stands defiantly between David and the door. He slaps her hard on the face.
You shouldn't have hit her! You can do what you like, but you shouldn't have hit her!
Alex jumps at him from behind. They struggle. Juliet pulls the case away and drags it to the kitchen. David pulls her hair and grabs the case. David kicks Alex in the shins. Juliet hits David with a toaster. Alex rushes at David, pins him to the table as Juliet bites his hand. David breaks free and pushes Juliet into the utensil rack. Alex grabs him and thumps David's head on the fridge door, opens it, then slams it against David's head. Juliet tries to break them up. David knees her in the groin. David has pinned Alex to the floor and sits on him. He reaches for a large kitchen knife and plunges it deep into Alex's shoulder. The point of the knife pierces through to the floor. As David goes for another knife, Juliet stabs him from behind through the throat. As he falls to the floor face down, Juliet still has the blood-drenched knife in her hand. Alex grimaces with pain as a pool of blood grows around his wounded shoulder. Juliet, dropping her own knife, leans over him and pushes the knife further in.
You did the right thing. But I can't take you with me.
She takes off her shoe and hammers the knife further in. Putting her shoe back on, she drags the case to the door. Picking up her airline ticket from the floor on the way, Alex gulps for air. David's eyes are wide open as he dies beside him. The pool of blood around Alex grows. Alex, still pinned to the floor, screws up his face at the flash from the police photographer's camera.
Inspector.
Alex manages a small smile. Juliet, in the mini, has opened the case to find it full of newspaper wads, with a £50 note folded on top. She leaves it all behind. Alex, still on the floor, smiles with satisfaction. Following the knife blade down through the floorboards, a drop of blood has dripped onto the money hidden under the floor. Juliet walks furiously up to the check-in desk at the airport. David's pale, revolving, expressionless face, showing the stab wound in his neck.
Oh yes, I believe in friends. I believe we need them. But if one day you find that you just can't trust them anymore, well, what then? What then?
He is covered in a white sheet and his body put away in a mortuary shelf. The door shuts on him. The three friends laughing at the flat door as at the beginning.
The audio description for this film was written by Carol McGregor, read by Dennis Lawson. The sound engineer was John Etchells.